Welcome to the sermon podcast of South Hills Church in Costa Mesa. My name is Chris Kretzu, and I'm the campus pastor here. Thank you for carving out the time to listen to this today. I hope that you will be encouraged and challenged, and ultimately that you'll have a deeper sense of God's love for you. I'll be back after the message is over, but until then, I hope that you enjoy this episode. Yesterday, we had a couple different things going on, but there was a big chunk of time in the middle of the day where we didn't have much, and so we were just lounging around the house, and my wife was acting really bizarre and odd, she just was apologizing for things, and it was kind of funny, because the thing that she initially apologized for, I was like, I'm not upset. Like, I wasn't, like, it was confusing. Like, I was, have you ever had that moment where you're like, did I miss something? Like, should I be upset about something right now? And so I just said, are you okay? Because here's what you need to know. She doesn't apologize for a lot. And she gave me permission to tell this story. So she is, and she doesn't have a lot to apologize for. But I just said, are you okay? Because it did really feel like there was a sense, like it was like a, there was like this sensitive kind of vibe in the room. And I just was like, are you okay? Are we okay? Is there, you know, it's like, am I dying? Is something, what's going on? And she just said, I'm in my apology era. And I was like, okay. I was like, well, I've got a list of things I'd love for you to apologize for. And she said to me, I'm not taking requests right now, which just, she went back to her normal self in that moment. But the reality for all of us is that there are silly things and big things that we have longed for someone to apologize for. There's things that we've had to apologize for. There's hurts. There's ways that we have been injured by people that are close to us, by people that we don't know very well. And when you come to apologies, you start to think about forgiveness, and forgiveness is one of those things that we always want people to apologize to us, and we always want people to forgive us, because we obviously know that we had the best intentions. Like, never would I want to hurt or disappoint you, and so we've got all the reasons why the way that I hurt you, or the thing that I said, or whatever it was, it's really easy for us to justify a reason for why that was able to happen. But when it's time for us to forgive somebody else, they have to jump through hoops. It's like an obstacle course for them to prove exactly why they deserve to be forgiven. C.S. Lewis has this quote. He said, everyone thinks that forgiveness is a lovely idea until he has something to forgive. And I think that's the reality. We want it to come our way. We want to experience it in our lives from God, from others, from people that we're close with. We want to be forgiven. And then when it comes time for us to actually extend that to someone else, it becomes much more complicated. It's really easy in my mind. It's a very clear path for forgiveness to come this way. It was an honest mistake. I didn't mean it to sound that way. I was really tired, and I hope they just understand that. But when it comes to sending out forgiveness the other direction, there are all of these things that pop up and get in the way of us being able to do that. Part of what makes these types of hurts so crushing is that we often don't see it coming. They catch us off guard. The people that we expect to be there for us, the people that know us the most, obviously have the greatest potential to injure us because we've been vulnerable with them. Our spouse, our partner, our family, close friends, they have access to things that a lot of other people don't have access to. And so we've experienced these really deep hurts. And oftentimes they come from the people that we would least expect it from, or the last person that we would want to experience it from. And so what do we do? What do we do when we experience that type of pain and it feels like there's no way to get through it or to even extend forgiveness towards them? That's what we're talking about today. There's a passage in Luke chapter 17 I just want to look at briefly to kind of set the tone for us. Jesus says to his disciples, things that cause people to stumble are bound to come. He goes on and he talks about the implications of this, but really what he's articulating and what he's getting at is this idea that there's a guarantee that something will happen to you around you, in your life, and it will cause problems. I guarantee that something is going to happen. It will cause you to act or react in the wrong way. It'll cause you to sin. It'll cause you to lash out. It'll cause you to whatever it is. You will be hurt. You will be wounded. Is anybody feeling motivated and inspired today? I'm trying my best. These things are guaranteed to happen. Also, if you hear screaming, it's good screaming. Today is store day. They get to buy all kinds of treasures. So they're trying to earn extra points with their excitement. So Jesus says, it's going to happen, so watch yourselves. If your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them. Some of you guys are great at that. And if they repent, forgive them, which is what we're preaching about today. And even if they sin against you seven times in a day and seven times come back to you saying, I repent, you what? Must forgive them. And the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. Essentially, like, that seems impossible. I need more faith to be able to do that. You're asking me to do something that no human can do. You have to give me the faith. Faith is something that we need when we can't understand or comprehend or believe or see that it's a possibility. Faith is something that's like, man, I got to have faith for this because there's no way this can be a thing. And the reality is, when Jesus said these words, the religious law, the religious baseline for all of these people was literally an eye for an eye. It was, if you hurt me, I get to hurt you back. If you take from me, I get to take from you. It was this for that. And so Jesus' words to us, like, forgiveness is kind of a huge core tenet of the Christian faith, even for people that aren't necessarily Jesus followers. They understand, wait, aren't you supposed to be, like, forgiving and full of grace and things? Like, everybody understands that, so it doesn't feel as shocking. But at this time, it would have been a bizarre, confusing moment. Now, the disciples' response is totally appropriate, and honestly, I think it's maybe even right for us, too. Increase my faith. If you think I'm going to be able to forgive someone that many times, I'm going to need some help. I'm going to need some help. What does it look like to experience pain, betrayal? Who is the person that lied to you or about you or who mistreated you? It's easy to talk about forgiveness when it's something small, but the reality is that every meaningful relationship at some point will experience this type of pain. And it's not like we need to be excited about it, but we just need to understand that you are not the only one, and it is an aspect of our lives. And so as we talk about Family Month, whether it's a spouse or kids or siblings or even chosen family, friends that we are close with, we have to understand, if we want to have healthy families, we have to understand how to navigate this conversation around forgiveness. And it's not just a small aspect. It is a huge piece. One of the great poets of our time was able to pen these words, which are so memorable. Band-aids don't fix bullet holes. You say sorry just for show. And if you live like that, you live with ghosts. If you live like that, you live with ghosts. Okay, it's Taylor Swift. Anybody? Okay, we'll keep moving. But it's a real thing. It's a real thing. The hurt and the pain. I mean, some people make entire careers based off of the failed relationships and the pain that they've experienced. And some people are great at writing the artistic words. But for the most of us, for the majority of us, there's this aspect of how do I actually practically navigate around this in my life? How do I deal with a roommate who stole from me? How do I deal with a boyfriend or girlfriend who lied to me? A parent that I worked to please or to impress but refused to acknowledge me? How do I deal with a friend who gossiped about me or a spouse who betrayed my trust? How do I deal with pastors, spiritual leaders that we see on TV, people that have somehow shaped and informed our own understanding of who God is, and they have this massive failure of whatever the choices are, and all of a sudden it starts to rock our world in a way of, how could this person do that? And then we have to wrestle with, well, how could I forgive them? Why would I forgive them? Do they even deserve forgiveness? I know that this touches everybody in different ways. And this is something that all of us experience in different ways. And I can't possibly understand the ways that you have been hurt or betrayed or wounded. And even if you were to tell me your story, I can have sympathy and empathy, but I can't still fully feel what you felt. But I really think that it's important that you know that I'm not just talking about forgiveness as like this nice spiritual platitude. It's not this cliche that it's like we're all going to nod our heads and then figure out how to navigate the painful realities of life. This is something that I am wrestling through, and I understand that you are as well. I want to share just briefly a bit of my own story, not because today is about me, not because it's about my story, but because I just want to set like a level playing ground for the ways that we have experienced pain in our lives. I've shared before a bit, my family grew up in the church. My dad was a pastor at a Methodist church. There was a lot of robes and pianos and organs and things like that. It's very similar to what we do here. We were kind of the picture-perfect family. My siblings and I often wore matching clothes, which is like the sign of a healthy family, you know? And everything, you know, everybody just loved our family. But inside of our home, it was chaos. There was a lot of pain. My dad became physically abusive. He was emotionally and verbally abusive, super manipulative, and it just kind of increased and increased and increased, and it was really directed just at me out of my siblings, and I don't totally understand why that was. There was a point when I was 15, just to kind of paint a picture, where he tried to hit me with a car. There was a massive amount of pain inside of our home. We left. My mom, my younger brother, and I, we left, and obviously started to figure out how do I move forward, how do I set boundaries, which as a 15-year-old, I don't know that I knew that word, but there was a sense of like, I need some sort of safety, protection, distance. And as I got older, I recognized how much I was still holding on to from that experience, those experiences, and how much it was affecting really every aspect of my life. And I started this journey of forgiveness, even though we were still no longer in relationship. And again, I say this not because it's about me and my journey. I say this because I don't know what yours has been, but I can imagine some pretty painful things. I've been through some painful things, and I don't say any of this in a like thoughtless or frivolous way. I say this as someone who's dealing with the realities of this still in my own life. God tells us we must forgive. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus again teaching on this, he says, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. If you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." It's not a whole lot of bumper stickers with this verse printed on it. This is one of those verses that feels a little bit discouraging at times. Are you kidding? Like, what do you mean? I thought that God gave us all kinds of forgiveness. I thought that was his shtick. I thought it was forgiving. What do you mean I have to forgive others? Why are these things linked together? We're going to talk about that a little bit more today, the realities of what this looks like. I think oftentimes people might say, well, I just can't forgive. I think what we're really saying in those moments is that I won't forgive. It's less about an inability to, and it's more about a choice not to, or a desire not to. I won't forgive. I think for a lot of us, it might be that I don't know how to forgive. I don't even know where to start. How do you begin considering forgiveness for someone who has hurt you that deeply and maybe even never acknowledged it? They'd never even asked for forgiveness. What does that look like? Those are big questions. I don't have all the answers, but I have a conversation I think that is worth us exploring. I think that maybe it will be helpful for us to start off with looking at what forgiveness is not. Forgiveness is not forgetting. I don't know who came up with the phrase forgive and forget. I don't know that anybody's ever done it. Forgiveness is not forgetting. It doesn't mean I'm just going to sweep these things under the rug and pretend like none of this stuff ever happened. Forgiveness is not free reign. Forgiving someone doesn't mean, oh, you know what? You get full access to me again. You get full access to my heart, to my kids, to my relationships, to my life. That's not what it means. It doesn't mean that you get to show up whenever and act however. It doesn't mean just like, oh, everything is, you get to do whatever you want. That's not what forgiveness means. Forgiveness is not a feeling. I don't know that I've ever felt like forgiving someone. And I'm a pastor. I'm way more holy than you guys are. I'm just kidding. Honestly, like in my own humanity, like in my own, the core of who I am as a person, I don't know that I've ever once been like, man, I just really want to forgive them. That's just not the reality that I've experienced. Maybe you have. But if we're waiting to feel like forgiving someone, we will never get there. And the last thing is that forgiveness is not fair. It doesn't feel natural. And for thousands of years, it wasn't even like the religious standard. Just like I said, the standard set in the Old Testament was eye for an eye. And so there is this peace in all of our hearts and our minds. It's like, well, that's not fair. Why should I forgive them? They haven't even taken the steps to acknowledge or own their own part. And we always want people to do their part. We always want that. If you don't know what I'm talking about, come to my house. My boys share a bedroom. They track everything. When I tell them to clean their room, they're very clear. Like, well, I've already done more than he has. And so I'm not going to clean anymore. And it's like, I've picked up 7 things. He's done 5. That's 2 less than I've done. Like, I don't know why you're failing math at school. You're really good at math when it's time to clean your room. So there's like this human piece for us where we want it to be fair. We want justice. We want it to be made right. And it somehow it feels like if I were to forgive someone, it can't be made right. I will always live at a deficit. And we'll talk again. We'll talk a little bit more about the reality of that. But there's some things we need to understand, and I just want you to understand when I say forgive, I'm not talking about these things. This isn't what I'm talking about, and I don't think this is what Jesus is talking about either. In my experience and what I have held on to and based off what I have read and studied, forgiveness is giving others what God has given you. And again, I get that this can sound a little bit just like a cliche spiritual thing, but I don't think that while many of us would agree and maybe nod our heads, I don't think we actually think about it this way. Forgiveness is about giving others what God has given us. Ephesians 4, Paul writes, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." I love this verse because there's a loophole in it. And I love loopholes when it comes to Bible verses. What this verse doesn't say is that I need to forgive others because they deserve it. It doesn't say I have to get to a place where I believe that they really have earned it. It doesn't say I even have to really be happy about it, which is nice. It says that I need to forgive others because God has forgiven me. My ability to forgive others, my ability to extend forgiveness to others, my ability to begin this journey, it has nothing to do with if they have asked for forgiveness, if they have attempted to make amends, if they have proven that they are changing. It doesn't have anything to do with any of those things. My ability to forgive others is solely based on the fact that I have been forgiven. That's the requirement. And the challenge for us is when we tend to forget that we have been forgiven. We tend to forget like, oh yeah, I'm a mess. I think that we have this kind of innate ability as humans and as people to kind of hold ourselves up. I think the majority of us would be like, oh yeah, I'm not perfect. But have you seen Frank and the way that he talks to his kids? I'm glad I'm not like that. Have you seen Jack and Sally's marriage? Yeesh, gotta pray for them, you know? Have you seen the way that so-and-so is struggling with this habit or this addiction? I'm glad I don't have that problem. So it's like, I know that I'm not perfect, but somehow I'm able to like inch myself up in comparison with others and be like, ugh, at least I'm doing better than them. They need grace. They need forgiveness. I have experienced so much of it. And I mean, I'm on this 8-inch stage. I can see into your guys' hearts from here. It's like, you guys, like, I'm just grateful that I'm not as messed up as you guys are. I'm joking around, but there is a serious ability that we have to kind of forget that I am a mess. I have struggles. I am broken, and they're different than yours, but I forget about them because I'm used to mine. I've somehow figured out how to justify mine. Mine aren't even my fault. Mine are somebody else's fault. It's their fault that I'm this way. When we forget how much we have been forgiven, it makes it really easy to not feel like we need to forgive others. It makes it really easy for us to hesitate in extending forgiveness to others. The Christian understanding of forgiveness is that because God forgives us, we should forgive others. Forgiveness doesn't just flow to us, it should also flow through us. And that's the thing I want us to understand, that God's forgiveness is like a river flowing to us. There is this consistent forgiveness. It's not because we asked for it. It's not because we necessarily wanted it. That's why it says in Scripture that at just the right time, at the perfect time, while we were yet sinners, before we even knew to ask for it, Christ died for us. There was forgiveness available for us before we knew it, before before any of us were alive. That was extended to us. This forgiveness flows to us, and it is supposed to flow through us. We're supposed to channel it out, but a lot of us have become really comfortable kind of becoming reservoirs. It's like, I'll take all of the forgiveness that I can get, and I'm going to just store it up. I'll dole it out to people that deserve it when they have proven that they need it. I'll continue taking it, but nothing is going anywhere without written consent. Prove that you are worthy of being forgiven. Make it clear that you're really sorry. Show me how you can guarantee you'll never hurt me again, and then I'll open up forgiveness. That is not the way it's designed to be. It's not the way that we're designed to live. I think a lot of us forget a prayer that so many of us have memorized. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against. I love the passion. Thank you. We don't really pause and think about it. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive others. Again, it's a prayer that is linking these things together. Is that really how much you want God to forgive you? As much as you're willing to forgive your spouse, your ex-spouse? As much as you're willing to forgive your sibling, your parents, your coworkers, is that actually the definition of how much forgiveness you want from God? I think most of us, we pray this like, forgive me my trespasses, and I will consider offering that at other times in the future, which I will decide. Like, that's not the way that it's intended to work. That's not the way that we are created to be able to not only exist, but to actually feel alive, to feel a sense of wholeness and freedom and hope and fullness in our lives. God asks us to forgive because God loves you and God loves me. He doesn't ask us to forgive to make somebody else's life better. He tells you to forgive so that you can be healed, so that you can be set free. And that's the good news, is that we can experience deep healing when we forgive someone, even if they're not asking for it, even if they're unwilling to do the work. It's not actually a requirement for them to ask for it or accept it. The requirement is that we forgive. others. We must forgive. And as we do that, we find a sense of freedom. There's a quote I read a while ago. I don't remember who wrote it down, but I've saved it. It says, to forgive is to set a prisoner free and then to discover that the prisoner was you all along. When I don't forgive, and there's probably a million great reasons not to, I'm choosing to carry this thing. I can't believe they, how could he, why would she? And it becomes resentment and bitterness, and it becomes like this weight that I'm carrying. But I know, and I'm sure that you know, that it's not just the one thing in my life that hurt me. And so when I don't forgive, it just begins piling on, and so much of who we are, the way that we think, the way I'm able to love my kids, the way I'm able to be a good friend, the way I'm able to serve people who are in need, who may not even deserve it. All of the justifications we have in our mind, they're all tied to these things that I'm carrying around from my life. And when I start to begin to forgive, even when people haven't asked for it yet, what I'm really doing is I'm setting down this bitterness and this resentment at the feet of Jesus, and I'm saying, give me more faith. Because this feels impossible. This feels so hard. I don't know how to put another foot forward in this journey. You cannot control what others do, what they take accountability for. You can't control what inner work they're willing to do. But you can make every effort to deal with your own heart, your own anger, your own bitterness, your own trauma in a way that releases you from being tied to that for the rest of your life. Repairing a relationship requires us to take responsibility for our own feelings and our own actions. We have to take responsibility for our own feelings and actions. There's a couple named Nikki and Scylla Lee. They wrote a book called The Marriage Book, and there's a course that we offer here. And they talk about the four kind of steps to healing hurt in relationships. And while they talked about it specifically with marriages, really it applies to any relationship. And it's been really helpful for me. I want to talk through them with you. The first one is to talk about the hurt. Whether you are the person who has hurt someone, whether you are a person that has been hurt, either way, your first step is to talk to them about how you've been hurt. I know a lot of us, we wait for that person to come and acknowledge it, to apologize, to admit that they did something wrong. It's like, well, I'll let them know if they ask. But until then, I'm going to give them the cold shoulder, or I'm going to cut them out, or whatever it is. But our first step as Jesus followers, our first step, if we want to have healthy relationships, period, is to talk about the hurt. Take the initiative to bring it out into the open so that things can have the opportunity to be healed. A lot of times people may not even know. I've learned to phrase things in a way, because I don't really love conflict, and so I've learned to phrase things in a way like, hey, I'm sure you didn't mean it this way. I don't know if you're aware that when you said this or when you responded that way, it made me feel like you don't care about my opinion. You don't respect, whatever the thing is. It's just saying, hey, this is what I felt. I don't know if that's really what you intended for me to feel, but it's just bringing it out in the open. And they could respond 1,000 different ways. If you're married to my wife, she'll say, I'm not taking requests right now. People will respond different ways. And it may not, probably won't be an easy conversation, but it's the first step. The second thing is to apologize, to take responsibility, resist the urge to make excuses or to blame others. Apologies are hard and they're complicated, and we're not really very good at them. Have you guys heard of faux apologies? They're like fake apologies. There's a list of them I found. The first one is butt-ology. Stick with me. There's only one T there. This is when we say, I'm sorry, but I was really tired. I'm sorry, but the day at the office was insane. I'm sorry, but these children that you have blessed me with have been a nightmare to care for all day. I'm not saying that none of those things are true or aren't true, but an apology never, ever should include the word but. It doesn't need to. All of these things might be true. And if we're apologizing, we're owning our part fully, even if it's just 1% of the pie, just the smallest sliver. We're owning our part. We're not trying to shift any blame. Ifology. I'm sorry if I hurt your feelings. I am sorry if you don't have as good of a sense of humor as I do and you took that personally. I'm sorry if I upset you when I was trying to deal with these problems. I'm sorry. It's not a real apology. I'm sorry that you saw it that way. I'm sorry you were hurt by my hilarious joke. I'm sorry you, it's removing yourself from the actual apology. It's actually saying like, oh, I'm sorry for you. I'm sorry on behalf of you. It's not owning your own part. We can do this with having strings attached. This happens a lot of times in couples. I'll say sorry when you acknowledge what you did. I'll say sorry after you do these things. A lot of times we just think that we can have people lighten up. I was just kidding. Like, well, you may have been kidding, but it still could have hurt someone. It could have wounded someone. This is the one I do oftentimes. You know me better than that. I've always struggled with this. Because obviously, I have been known to say things that hurt my wife's feelings. And I say, you know, I would never intentionally say something to hurt you. And I want her to just be okay with that. And that's true. I wouldn't intentionally say something to hurt her. But I did unintentionally say something that hurt her. And it doesn't matter that I would never do it on purpose. I did it on accident. And I need to own that. It doesn't matter how good my intentions are. These are not real apologies. And we need to understand, how can I not only start the conversation to talk about the hurt, but how can I actually own my part again? Even if it's just like the tiniest sliver of the pie. There may be 1,000 other pieces of this puzzle, but we have to own our part and apologize. The third thing is that we need to forgive, which is what we're talking about as a whole. It's an essential aspect when it comes to healing and health in our relationships. And the fourth thing is to start fresh, to begin each day with a fresh start. 1 Corinthians 13 says, love keeps no record of wrongs. And even though we don't mean to oftentimes, even though it's not intentional oftentimes, we carry things over from day to day. We just kind of start collecting things. Last weekend when we were at Burbank, Mason went with me. We went out to dinner Saturday night, and we were at the counter, and this guy was in front of us, and he pulled out his wallet to pay, and he sat it on the counter, and it was like this thick. Have you guys ever seen like the dad wallet, where your dad just like collects every card he's had for the last 30 years? It's like, what are you doing with all of those things, and how do you sit anywhere? Anyways, I think we do this a lot in our relationships. It's like, we may not be intentional about it, but these things, they just accumulate, and it requires us to talk about it. It requires us to go back to the first step of saying, this was a small thing, it wasn't that big of a deal, but I just want to say it out loud. That's how we start fresh the next day. Otherwise, these things, they just kind of silently begin to stack up, and we become more sensitive to less hurtful things over time. We have to continue this journey of forgiveness. Forgiveness does not change the past. It does not change what he did or what she said or the betrayal that you've experienced. But it changes your soul and it changes your future. Forgiveness is not about the other person actually doing the work. It is first and foremost about you recognizing that forgiveness flows to me from God. And because I have experienced it, I want it to flow through me to others. About a year ago, my dad reached out to me. We've had a lot of boundaries in place. We've talked a few times. I've seen him a few times over the years. But about a year ago, he reached out and very sincerely said, hey, I want to know how to make things right in our relationship. I'd like to come visit you. I want to hear what you have to say. I want to talk about things. And so I very hesitantly said, okay. He flew out to California. We met up. It was a long conversation, and he just asked me to share with him what it was that was between us. And I kind of gave him the highlight reel. obviously, there's a lot of big and small things, but I just kind of talked about some of these things. And after I was done, he said, well, it sounds like you remember things very differently than I remember things. And then he got on the plane and flew back home. And simultaneously in that moment, it felt like somebody punched me in the gut, and I didn't feel wounded because I had already forgiven him. And I'd already been forgiving him. And I forgave him again on that day. And I'm forgiving him again today because I'm talking about it, so it hurts a little bit again. And it has nothing to do with him. It has everything to do with me not wanting that stuff to show up in my marriage, to show up in my parenting, to show up in the way that I choose to be a pastor or a friend. I want that stuff to stay in the past. I can't change that it happened, but I can absolutely choose to say it will not have control over me anymore. Forgiveness is an ongoing process, and it's not easy, and it often doesn't end up with like a bow on the end of it, like this perfect story. I get that it's messy. And I want us to understand when we talk about family relationships and the people we love and the people that we're closest with, this isn't about us getting others to acknowledge everything that we want to hear them say, because that's probably not going to happen often. This is about us getting to become the kind of people who are still able to love even though we've been hurt, that are still able to be trusting even though we've been betrayed, that are still able to be accepting, even though we've been judged, that are still able to care and be compassionate, even though we've been taken advantage of. That's what forgiveness allows us to do. And it allows us to experience forgiveness from God in a more clear and passionate way than anything else. I get to experience it more in my heart because I continue to offer it. I am amazed by God's forgiveness of me, because I am so frustrated about my ability to forgive others. I think one of the things that might be the most challenging thing for us, the person that might be hardest for you to look in the eyes and forgive, is actually yourself. Because nobody knows you and your issues quite like you do. And if you're unable to forgive yourself and you're constantly dropping the hammer on yourself and your own past and your own choices, it will be really hard for you to offer it to anybody else. It becomes hard to imagine that God could forgive you, but I want you to know you never have to wonder where you stand with God, with your Heavenly Father. This is what it says in Psalm 103. It says, God does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. For you to think about and consider in those moments when you have a view of yourself as unforgivable, unredeemable, I want you to know that you never have to question where you stand with God. It does not change the implications of your past choices or your actions and the repercussions. All of that stuff still exists in our relationships and in our lives. But forgiveness is continually flowing to us. And for us to have healthy relationships, we need to be able to open up the reservoir and begin extending it to others, even when they don't ask for it and aren't interested in receiving it. Let's pray together.
Well, regardless of where you may be at in your faith journey, I believe that everyone has a next step that they can take. If you'd like more information about what it means to put your trust in Jesus, information about getting baptized, or maybe even attending a Discover class to grow more in your faith, you can visit us online at southhills.org/Costa Mesa, and then scroll down to the Next Steps section. If you'd like more information about tithing or supporting South Hills financially, you can visit southhills.org/giving. Thanks again for listening today, and I hope that I get to see you soon.